What's going on, people? Welcome to another episode of the Buford's Own podcast. And I got some much anticipated news I think we've all been waiting on for the longest. It's been about 2 years in the coming, and guess what? The Buford County Road Construction Project is finally done, people. It's finally done. Can we get a big round of fake applause for that, please? Right, and I know you've all been excited to hear it. We've all been excited to hear it. They spent $33 million on a road that no one likes. I mean, no one. And everybody that I've talked to, young, old, African-American, white, Hispanic, no one likes the road. No one. No one agrees with it. Everybody thinks it's dumb. Now you have to do U-turns. There was one person who was clearly mad about there not being bike lanes. They were so angry they put a sign out there. I think it was a waste of money. Here's the thing. If you spend $33 million on something that's for everyone, I think generally the unwritten rule is that everyone has to like it, or at least a lot of people. Like, if you take $33 million and you spend it on a car that's yours, and everyone hates it, but you like it, it doesn't matter. It's your car. You have to drive it. If something happens to it, you have to fix it. It doesn't matter. It's your car. If everyone hates it, oh well. Go get their own $33 million car. But if somebody gives you $33 million to plan their wedding, and they show up to the planning, and they hate it, do I even have to go into detail about the difference in that? Like, if you get $33 million to plan something for someone else, they better damn well like it. Like, let's just put it like that. And I don't think that's the case here. And not only did they announce that they're finished with the road, Trask is announcing another project that he's supposed to be working on for his Buford Shopping Center. If those of you who don't know what Buford Shopping Center, that is the shopping center with the movies and Big Lots and Staples and everything else. Planning on another project that's supposed to connect Robert Smalls Parkway and Boundary Street behind the Buford Plaza. And the last time I checked, if you go around the front of the Buford Plaza, it's already connected. So unless you're going to put more businesses behind there, I don't understand the point of wasting money on a road that connects Robert Smalls Parkway to Boundary Street if it's already connected in the front twice. You can go through the plaza and come out on the other side, or you can stay on the road and turn at the light at the intersection by McDonald's and Chick-fil-A. So, again, another waste of money for something a lot of people won't care about. And then, to follow that up, they announced another $1.7 million spending budget to connect Greenlawn to the local business, to nearby businesses. Last time I checked, Greenlawn Circle connects directly to Boundary Street. And as far as the nearby businesses, there's a road by Bilo that connects Greenlawn Drive to the shopping center that's there. And if you go up a little bit farther, that's the crazy part. If you go up a little bit farther, you won't be surprised. The Buford Town Center that they thought was supposed to be so amazing that they spent money on, there's a road that connects Greenlawn to that. So, they spent $33 million on a road that took 2 years. Everybody's happy you're done now. Like, not everybody that found out you're done, they're excited because they're tired of the cones. Just to turn around and tell us, you're spending another $1.7 million in construction that no one else thinks we need. That's what you're spending the money on. Like, they're just spending money like crazy, and I'm trying to figure out why, you know? And I feel like we just voted on a school referendum tax about lack of funding for schools or how they're going to split the spending for school. But we have $33 million to spend on the road that no one likes, that everybody thinks was unnecessary. I think the thing that people like about Buford County is the trees, that it's still a small town. Like, it's not a big city. That's what everybody likes about it. That's why it's a retirement community for the most part. So you get rid of trees to widen the sidewalks, and then you put planted trees that don't even grow in Beaufort County down the middle. Okay, cool, because now you have to spend money to maintain that. Great. Good job, Beaufort County. And not only that, you have another community in mind. I believe it's Mossy Oaks that's complaining about the flooding. So that's another community that I'm pretty sure spent millions of dollars to be taken care of, which I don't think was on part of whoever's owned the community, but it's going to be on the community to fix the flooding that's happening in Beaufort County. And guess what? That has to be paid for. So if you like, I just think Beaufort County, whoever's in charge, like, because the money's not coming out of their pocket. Like, if you ask me for $33 million and then another $1.7 million. Oh, and I forgot to mention the cost of that is estimated to be $5 million. Like, if you ask me for $5 million to fix flooding or $5 million for anything, I'm going, if I have it in my pocket, I'm like, I don't know. I worked hard for that $5 million. But if you ask me for $5 million for something, and all I have to do is go charge the however many thousands of people that live in Beaufort County for the money to do it, charge you $30, which they're announcing that they're supposed to be going up on a storm water fee, a storm drainage fee that they were already in that planning to implement. They're planning to raise that, okay? So you're going to raise that to force us to pay for this community to fix the flooding issues, because there's a lot of flooding going on in Beaufort County. Well, when you're an island that's located near the water, not near the water, an island that's surrounded by water, there's going to be flooding, especially if the tides change with the climate changing. Like, we do notice that the flood water recently in Beaufort County has gotten really, really high. So either we're going to have to start building houses on stilts, or we're all going to have to move very soon if the water keeps rising the way it's been rising. Like, because when I was younger, the floods didn't get that high. Now the flood is flooding the whole downtown that you could ride a boat through it. Like, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. You should fix that first. Maybe you should spend some money on fixing that before you spend some money on fixing Moxie Oaks. But those are the people with the money, so I guess that's probably where they're going. Next up on the Beaufort Zone podcast, we have some other topics that we'd like to get into. For example, we have a guest here named, insert name, and we're going to be talking about her college success, or we're going to be talking about their business, their whatever. This is just a test broadcast, and I'm assuming I'm going to be having guests here at some point. So, till next time. What's going on, people? Welcome to another episode of the Beaufort Zone Radio Podcast, because who's better where you get the latest news in Beaufort County, keep you up to date on some things that you might have not have paid attention to, because a lot of people don't read the newspaper anymore. First up, Beaufort County Housing Survey, because we're all excited about that. We're going to be talking about some things that I don't even really think was necessary to put in an article, because I already knew that from just walking around. But instead, Beaufort County decided to spend $39,000 for Bowen National Research, a real estate market research firm, to study Beaufort for 8 months to see how the real estate market is here. Now, I already know the real estate market is bad. I mean, I got Facebook friends that, you know, that complain about how hard it is to find a place to stay. I've tried to find a house place to stay because I don't want to live with my mom anymore, but it is what it is, you know? And then you got the single moms out there, and then you got people on housing, and it's just a real messy process that they didn't need to spend roughly $40,000 on. But they did. And you know what they found out? 63% of people had trouble finding suitable housing. This is a high number. These are high numbers. 47.4% are cost burdened or paying 30% of their income to housing. You know, and that's rental and sales. Like, that's a lot. And the state average for homeowners is 23%. We're at 33.5%. Like, that's 10, like, Obviously, that's 10% more, but that's a high rate. Like, and I think the issue is that Beaufort County is more so leaning on the fact that this is a retirement community. It's a historic community. You know, they just put in this road. You know, they want to pay for that. So, you know, they're charging all kinds of taxes and they're raising the rates on housing, but they're not raising the pay. Like, that's a standard. Like, anything that any job that you find, like, I get it. Go to college, get a career, get a trade, you know, whatever. But everybody's life doesn't, you know, go that well sometimes. Some people have a slow start than others. So in the meantime, while you're working a job and you work at, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings or one of these jobs here on Boundary Street, Robert Smalls Parkway, you don't have a salary paying job, you still need a place to stay, you know? And they're making it very hard. 300, and then not to mention that you got 300 residents are waiting for public housing, and 1,000 of them are waiting for a housing voucher. So those are, and to me, that number says to me that when I think of that, I don't think it's just like people who are might be lazy to get a job, people who aren't making enough money. When I see that number about housing vouchers and public housing, I'm thinking about women or families with kids. That, you know, they need a place to stay, they're struggling, they can't afford to do it. You know, probably had two people had a baby that are working, you know, low income jobs. And they need a place to stay because they can't stay in their situation no more. But they're on the waiting list. I mean, 1,000 people, 1,000 houses, that's a lot of waiting time if you're number 1,000, you know? But they had a meeting about it after the survey. And as far as Bluffton is concerned, congratulations for you guys. Bluffton agreed to purchase land on May River for about $236,000 and for affordable housing. And they're planning on putting that there, and it's going to be rental. They Bluffton is on the right page here. Bluffton Town Councilman Dan Wood, when asked about the affordability of sale and rental housing, said that, I mean, it's blatantly obvious we have a need for both. You can't just solve our problem by for sale housing because there's a lot of young professionals who are not ready to buy a home. And I agree with that because I am one of those young professionals. As far as I'm concerned, you know, you got people who are just, you know, just young, might be get like I'm 23. So, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm a little behind in my career. I'm a little bit behind and where I wanted to be in life at this point. But then I also have to realize that I would be just graduating college a year ago if I would have stayed in college, if I wouldn't have got a 4-year degree. I would have been just graduating. So that means I most likely probably still would have been living with my mom because I would have been in college for 4 years and wouldn't have had a job in my profession. So that being said, I would still be looking for a place to stay. And let's face it, you're just getting started. You don't want to buy a house. You don't know how your career is going to pan out, you know? And even if you do, I mean, you don't have any kids. You don't have any, like, your first intent with your first job is not buying a house. You might want to balance a little bit first, you know? But nobody thinks about that. But they've been trying to hire a housing enrichment specialist or coordinator, excuse me, since 2017. Why? I don't think it takes that long to hire somebody to plan affordable housing. I personally think the people that we already have in charge can do that for us, but it's not happening. But that's a good sign. They're positive and moving in the right direction. They hired somebody to do a survey of the rental companies here in the rental market, which is fair. They're trying to hire a housing enrichment coordinator that's supposed to be planning affordable housing. Well, I don't think it's that hard. Just buy some land, put some apartments on it, make it affordable. Put some houses on it, make them affordable, whether they're for sale or for rent. Look at what the average pay is in the community and put it there. Because people are moving here, but it's very high. I mean, it's for the military people. I mean, you have to think about, we have three military bases here with housing on it. I mean, that's what it is, and that's what it's into, you know? Next up, we have Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton says he doesn't. Oh, yeah. Let me cut that out. Edit that. Next up, we have the Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky scandal. Wait. This is an old topic, right? This is like 1998. Nope, it's 2018. We're still talking about Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky in 2018. This is something that is like not letting a situation die. Like, it's over. It happened in 98. It's done. Why are we still talking about it? Why are we still asking Bill questions? Why are we still asking Monica questions? They had an affair in 1998. And it's done. It's over. But apparently, not the case. Bill Clinton was apparently on the NBC Today show promoting his book called The President is Missing with his co-author novelist James Patterson. But in that interview that was supposed to be about his book, Craig Melvin decided to insist on trying to get him to issue a public apology or feel like he was wrong for not giving her apology. And Bill Clinton insisted that I gave her apology publicly, which I think is better. And he's like, but you didn't give her one privately though, like to her. Like, he was insisting like, yo, like you did something wrong there. But I don't see why in this situation that he had her apology, he felt like he possibly ruined her life. Like, I don't see how. You know, the argument was that, you know, she took control of her, maybe you did something to her. But I want to remind people about this Monica Lewinsky scandal. She was 24. The scandal broke in 1998. It's 2018. She's 44. She was 24. I'm well aware of what's going on around me when I'm 24 years old. I'm 23, so that's a year older. And I'm pretty sure what's going on if someone's trying to have sex with me. But she plays victim, of course. And apparently, Monica Lewinsky was a part of the Me Too movement, which is an organization that supports survivors of sexual violence, mostly of color, but has spread to everyone, including white women, lesbians, gays, tranny, the whole LGBTQIRA, however many letters you want to put in there. And in the March edition of Vanity Fair, Lewinsky said she always considered the relationship consensual, but the Me Too movement has shifted her thinking. Now let's stop right there. This whole scandal was released. He needed to give her an apology, you know, but it was consensual. So how can you, at the same time of saying something was consensual, you're the victim in a situation where there's pictures of you guys clearly being happy around each other while you were his intern. Let's be clear about that. But she says in an interview, she wrote, "Now at 44, I'm beginning to consider the implications of the power differentials that were so fast between a president and a White House intern. I'm beginning to entertain that such a circumstance, the idea of power, might be rendered moot. Although power balances and the ability to abuse them do exist even when the sex is consensual." I'm still trying to figure out what that even means. Okay, you said it was consensual twice, but then said, I still think somehow he abused his power. Like, what? Like, what's the point of that? Like, are you trying to, like, get the case reopened or what? Like, I don't, like, nothing's going to come out of that. Like, it's over. It's done. Why are we still talking about it? Why are we giving Monica Lewinsky airtime? Or an article in Vanity Fair about something that was so long ago. Like, you had sex with the president. You're famous for it. Get over it. Like, really. Because, like, that's all the story is at this point. You know? Like, okay, you had sex with the president. If guy got out, you're famous. It's left. Now you gotta play victim. And that's my thing about a lot of cases too. You find out a lot of times that the woman actually knew about it. It was a lie, or it was consensual. She just didn't want nobody to find out, so she played the victim role, and now somebody suffers because of it. For example, Bill admits that he left the White House $16 million in debt from legal fees in this case. Like, I mean, you didn't really suffer anything. Like, if anything, you could have just rolled with it and became famous. Like, yo, I had sex with the president. And just rode the wave. Which, in a sense, you probably did. You know? So, I don't think that this is something that should constantly be getting airtime. Like, it's over. I think USA Today wasting an article. They could have found something more interesting to talk about other than giving the situation that's been, that, you know, it's been alive for 20 years. Something. I mean, I think about it. 1998, I was a whopping 4 years old when this story released. You humped the president at 24 years old. People found out. Oh, well, get over it. I don't think there was an abuse of power there. Now, some people can be like, hey, maybe it was, you know, she had a fear of losing her job or her internship or whatever. That would have been a better story. That probably would have got you more money. You know, the president tried to have sex with me and I said no. So he said I couldn't be an intern anymore. That would have got you, I think that would have got you a larger payoff. And I think you would have felt a lot better. But that route didn't happen. It did it. If it did, correct me. I'm sorry. But as far as I know, I think that would have, nothing happened, nothing came out of that, and I think that would have got you a lot more money and a lot more press if that was the case. And it probably would have got you a better job because people would have felt sorry for you that you got fired. But instead, that's not the case. You claim the sex was consensual, and once you've done that, this case is nothing more than an affair with the president. That's all it is. Thank you for listening to the Buford Zone Radio Show. It is now time for Small Talk. This is the segment where I talk about each topic for approximately 30 to 60 seconds, no longer. If you want to go on deaf, feel free to look it up by yourself. First up, from the Buford Gazette, the Buford Commons Park is finally gaining traction. If you don't know what the Buford Commons Park is, that is the land that Buford County bought on Parker Drive. Parker Factionist facility used to be located there in an attempt to increase industrial flow in Buford County in an attempt to gain more jobs. Gizmar Modern Track Machinery, the recent company to open up after Parker made its depart, decided to make the Buford location its North American headquarters. That means it should be a permanent stay should they be successful. They expect more jobs to be available by next March. Oliver's Bush Hogging also plans to lease 16 acres of property as well on that road. And if you don't know what Oliver's Bush Hogging is, it's a company that plans to turn trees and yards into a fertilizer with the use of a smokeless incinerator. Whatever that is, I want a tour of it. I do. I really do. Next up from the Buford Gazette, 27-year-old Jesse Matthew Givens was sentenced to 30 years in prison for apparently beating his ex and her boyfriend and setting the house on fire with the child in it. On November 21st, 2015, Jesse, Mr. Givens, broke into his ex-girlfriend's house, attacked her and her boyfriend, left before the police arrived, then returned later and attacked the couple with the butt of a shotgun. Givens locked the child that was present in the room. The couple somehow fled the house. Gibbons then proceeded to set the house on fire with the child still inside and fled the scene. The woman had to break in the house and save her child on her own. Gibbons was apparently arrested on Parrots Island. He was a Marine at the time of his arrest. From the Post and Courier, former State Senator John Corson just resigned after pleading guilty to misconduct in office, faces 16 years for possibly pocketing $160,000 in campaign cash. He becomes the fourth lawmaker to plead guilty and resign in the State House corruption probe. Alongside him was House Speaker Bobby Harrell of Charleston, House Majority Leader Jim Merrill of Charleston, and other Majority Leader Rick Quinn of Lexington. No one received jail time, just fines and probation. And it's also worthy to note that they were all Republicans. All of them. If that doesn't say something, I don't know what does. Thank you for listening to Small Talk. This is Buford's Own.